Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with our friend Ray Allen. Ray is engineering and producing our show on the other side of the glass. The air quality is really bad out there. The Pima County Environmental Department issuing an air quality advisory just a few minutes ago. We had a strong inversion layer overnight, elevated levels of particulates, so that's why the mountains have kind of that haze over them. Bad air quality today, but certainly the good news is it's going to be warming up later in the week. We have a very full hour as usual on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to begin with the Tucson Police Department's campaign called Save Your Receipts. We'll talk about that and why it is really important, not only for consumers, but for merchants here in Tucson as well. About 20 minutes past the hour, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman giving me a thumbs up on the other side of the glass. Shelley gives me the thumbs up, meaning the market is starting to go up a little bit after a very good day yesterday on Wall Street. 12:30, we will be talking with the head of the Tucson Urban League. That will be our monthly nonprofit profile presented by Cox Business. Then we'll talk education to close out the show with the vice president of the Arizona Education Association, Joe Thomas. But right now, we welcome to the Buckmaster Show Officer Dan Lucas. Dan is the Community Resource Officer for the Tucson Midtown Division of the Tucson Police Department. Officer Lucas, how are you? Good to see you. Thanks
for being
with
us. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about the Save the Receipts campaign. How did this evolve, and what's the reason for it?
Save Your Receipts really was born from patrol activity and uncovering activity and trends that was going on within our division. In Midtown, Captain Galluli directed a couple patrol officers to go out and specifically address the issue of property crime in our division. This unit started partnering with retailers and things like that to address whatever concerns were going on, and they started to notice that a lot of the people that they were catching for shoplifting were also implicated in car busts and burglaries and things like that. Many times there was a drug nexus involved, and they also noticed that these people had receipts. Mm-hmm. Like, they would have gobs of receipts in their backpacks, and they would have them in their pockets and things like that. And so they started asking some additional questions and saying, hey, what's going on with these receipts? And through a process, they determined what these folks were doing is they would acquire these receipts, they would dig them through the trash, pick them up off of a shopping cart, things like that. They would take these discarded receipts into the store, and they would use those receipts as a shopping list. They would take the items off the shelf, then go directly to the customer service counter and return the items for either cash or gift cards. And then they would take that cash or the gift card and then monetize it. And they would go and purchase their drugs to support their habit.
So it's like a big payday for them, an illegal payday to support whether it's a drug habit or something other illegal activity.
And correct. And because they had a receipt, mm-hmm. it wasn't really being questioned at the customer service desk. And so this activity was pretty much flying under the radar, both to us and to the retail partners. And using these receipts in this manner to obtain money is actually organized retail theft by statute, which oftentimes classifies as a felony as opposed to the simple shoplifting that gets you a ticket and sends you on the way. And so we've worked with our detectives on this. We've worked with the county prosecutor's office, and we've gotten successful prosecution. And since then, there has been numerous arrests in excess of 100 regarding this type of behavior. And we have, as a division, actually seen reductions in other areas of property crime, such as car busts and burglaries and things like that. And we believe that the people who were involved in this organized retail theft were probably out there committing other property crimes in order to support their habits.
It is suspected it's not just a Tucson problem. This is a huge problem across the country. I believe there was one study showing it was $44 billion annually in retail theft. And so you and your colleagues went up to Minneapolis speaking before the International Association of Financial Crime Investigators. And what was your message to these folks?
Well, actually, Lieutenant Flores from our division presented to one of the general sessions to this group. And we're talking, these are CEOs, vice presidents of organizations, members of the FBI, and a whole bunch of financial crimes investigators from all across the country. And we described this behavior and what we were doing to raise awareness about it, which is the Save Your Receipts campaign. And we received an overwhelming amount of feedback from both law enforcement agencies and retailers and banks that, hey, we think this is going on the East Coast or up here in the North and things like that. And so we believe that Tucson Police is on the forefront of one of the areas that is just now beginning to get national attention.
So take your receipts home and shred them, or if you want to save them because they can come in handy if you need to return something or whatever. But don't throw them in the dumpster.
Don't just discard them.
At the site, perhaps right where you bought them, or really anywhere outside of the home.
And there's three things that we are suggesting for individuals. And the first one is a lot of times when you make a retail transaction, they'll say, hey, do you want a receipt? Mm-hmm. And at that time, feel free, if you don't need it, to mm-hmm. decline your receipt. Some people use financial software and download it from their bank, and they don't require it. If you need a receipt, then just destroy it when you're done with it. Or the third one, some retailers actually have kind of gone green, and they will say, hey, do you want it emailed to you? And then you can have it sent to your email address, and then you've got an electronic record. So we're encouraging you to take one of those three avenues. Don't just wad up the receipt, throw it on the ground, throw it in the shopping cart or in the trash.
Are the merchants being cooperative too?
We are working with them, and yes, they are supportive. One of the things that we heard at the Minneapolis conference is they talked about all of the large numbers of retail theft and these big players that they have to take down. And one representative from a particular retailer said to us, you know, none of these people start at millions of dollars. They all start probably with tens or hundreds of dollars. And how could we identify this behavior and stop it before it becomes millions? And he says, I really think that you guys have uncovered a way for us to do that much earlier.
So catch this in the infant stage, in other words, before these people will graduate to something bigger.
To something much bigger and much larger. That's correct.
Why do you think this is happening? You mentioned drugs being one of the big issues here.
Yeah. For what the feedback that we're getting from our units out in the field is that a lot of these people have a drug nexus. So, you know, they will get hooked on drugs, and then you've got to feed a habit with a certain amount of money every day. And so you've got to create that money value. And so what is a quick and easy way for you to do it? If you can just walk in to the store and pull something off of there and then monetize that into 20, 50, 100 bucks. Then there you go. That's your fix for the day.
Are there particular merchants that they seem to key in on, like a big box stores?
Yes, big box stores are primarily where we are recognizing this type of behavior. We haven't necessarily had as much of a problem indicator with small mom and pop stores. This is usually big stores with lots of merchandise, with return policies where it's easy for them to do this.
How about the identity theft issue? Can that come into play here as well?
It could possibly, depending on the information that is available on the receipt. A typical transactional receipt that you're going to see at a convenience store or a department store or something like that, you're going to have little to no personal data stored on that. So there's really not going to be a lot for them to go off of. So the receipt aspect that we have brought up, the reason why we created Save Your Receipts is because the receipt is the thing that unifies the customer, the retail establishment, and also the law enforcement officer in these cases. So we're raising awareness to that particular key piece, trying to take that away so we can address the organized retail theft market. So the identity theft standpoint doesn't necessarily always play into the receipt, but it could, depending on what's available on the receipt.
Did this, when you and your colleagues in the Midtown division, you were looking at property crime was going up in the area,
mm-hmm,
right?
That's
and,
correct.
And you thought, well, what can we do? You guys sort of brainstormed, I guess, your men and women in that division and figured out about this Save the Receipts campaign. Is it being tried elsewhere, do you think, or in other cities? Have you heard anything about that?
Yes. As a matter of fact, up north, I believe it's in Sholo.
Okay.
They have begun a Save Your Receipts campaign out there, and that was pioneered by the Sholo Police Department out there in the area. So, and that was born of Lieutenant Flores and I have been to several different regional retail meetings and have presented this idea and talked about this trend. And so other law enforcement and retailers showed some interest and are starting to come on board as well.
Okay. To summarize here, Dan Lucas, Community Resource Officer for the Midtown Division of the Tucson Police Department. Again, if you would kind of go over what you want our listeners and consumers to do and be aware of, especially this holiday season.
Well, be aware of if you're a customer, people who are digging in the trash and taking papers out. If you are the customer walking through the aisle, then if they ask you, do you want a receipt? If you don't need it, decline. If you do need it, keep it until you don't need it anymore and then shred it, or go ahead and get an email receipt if that is available. If you're the retailer, recognize when a person comes into the store with nothing in their hands and then selects items and goes to your customer service desk to make a return. Recognize that behavior and realize that they may be using a fraudulent means to obtain those items. And then we're educating the law enforcement officers as well.
Let's see if we can work this quick call in. Huh? Diane has called us at 790-2040. Go ahead, Diane. I'm really out of time, but go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What's your idea?
What people like me could do, I have a special market I go to downtown, and the guy said they're stealing. So that day I walked around and looked. But your guy before you said they know how to catch somebody if they go in without anything and come out. So I'd be a good little detective.
Yeah, I think you would. Thank you, Diane, for calling us. Again, officer, thank you very much. Dan Lucas helping out here with the Save Your Receipts campaign. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Thanks for having us.
It's the Buckmaster Show, 12:16. Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner, is coming up right after this.
Remodeling, restoring, or building new additions to your home?
Five Star has termite and pest solutions for you. Treatments to building materials can be performed while tradesmen continue to work. Worried about treatment marks? Don't be. Our treatments will be completed before texture and paint. Five Star will provide landscaping and drainage advice to eliminate moisture and other pests and termite attractions around the home.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control, protecting homes and homeowners since 1980. 886-0045.
Five Star Pest Control.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we turn to our favorite financial advisor, certified financial planner, Mr. Shelley Fishman. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Well, doing very well, and I'm glad the market had a very good day yesterday. I really, after the horrible events Friday night in Paris, you would think there might have been some adverse reaction on Wall Street, but thank goodness there wasn't.
Yeah.
On
Monday. Well, that's the funny thing about markets. Every time you would think,
No, it goes like just the opposite.
But I'd like to make a proclamation.
Please do.
The proclamation is that the Tuesday jinx is now over.
On the Buckmaster Show, right. Jinx of markets going down on Tuesday.
Right.
Because today we, at this particular point.
Yeah, it's still early.
Yeah, we're up for the day. And we had a really good day yesterday.
What was that
attributed to the day yesterday, Shell?
Well, I think some of it was just the relief, you know, the bounce from the relief that the markets didn't crash.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the anticipation that, and I think it is finally settling in, that the Fed is going to reverse course in December and start raising rates very slowly and in very small amounts. And while in the prior week that had caused some concern, I think cooler heads prevailed. And when Europe did not crash and Asia did not crash as a result of what happened in Paris, I think there was just let's get things back to normal now.
And I am so glad that Europe didn't crash and that Wall Street didn't crash, because that would be playing into the hands of what these terrorists would have wanted.
Absolutely. every time you get something like this happening, it just increases uncertainty in the markets. And uncertainty and turmoil, as you know, as we've discussed time and time again, is what creates a downward pressure. But I think we had a pretty good industrial sector report just today. We've got what would appear to be decent results coming out of Europe and good revisions on prior months that had been a little below what they were expected to be. And so the momentum toward the end of the year appears to be building. I believe that what we'll see between now and the end of the year is a good, strong finish. I've been wrong in the past, Bill, of course, but I really do think that the idea that we are going to begin to normalize markets, that we're close to the end of deleveraging. That is, people who had large balances of debt have largely shed those balances. Same thing with corporations. I think we're seeing, you know, mergers and acquisitions. We're not seeing a lot of new construction at this point. There's this idea, and I think Larry Summers was the one who coined the phrase, and I had it on the tip of my tongue a second ago, but the idea that because of low demand, the psychological response to what the economy is doing is to hold off on purchasing. So that is causing low demand across the board. We're seeing some better demand, of course, in the automobile markets. We're seeing low prices for commodities, and when inflation begins to rear its head, we see that first in commodities, but we're not seeing any inflation in commodities at this point. So low prices, low oil prices, some better demand in terms of durable goods and automobiles, that hopefully I hate it when I do that. I should have written it down. Uh-huh. A secular stagnation was was the term. And it simply means that people have the expectation that prices will stay low, and as a result, they have no pressure to take money out of their pockets and buy. And that is causing a slower than usual recovery, though the recovery is very steady. I mean, it's kind of this rock solid but way too slow recovery.
The Financial Times over the weekend talked about equity coming up with the dollar, and parity would be the term, I guess, parity with the euro, because apparently the dollar will be stronger with the expected interest rate hike.
Well, that and you and I again have talked about this as well. Look, treasury bonds, treasury notes are among the safest investments that any investor can have. Mm-hmm. And if it turns out that we start raising interest rates such that the money that would ordinarily go into European or Asian or even emerging market federal debt government debt is distracted from there and comes here because we're paying a better rate on it, then that has the effect of strengthening further the dollar against those other currencies. That's why I believe the Fed has held off as long as they have. But at some point, the Fed needs some arrows in their quiver. And right now, they ain't got none.
Because they're at the bottom.
Because they're at the bottom. And when interest rates are zero, there's nowhere you can go.
No, and they've been at zero for how long, Shelley?
6 years, 7 years?
I mean, that's a long time.
So the Fed needs to do this. They need to do it very, very gradually, and they have been very good about announcing their intentions. So hopefully this will not disrupt the bond markets around the world, and it won't attract too much money from overseas markets. You know, a quarter of a point in the T-bill and, you know, in the overnight rate is not going to have much of an effect. As it ripples through the other bond markets, then we could potentially get into some problems. And that's what Janet Yellen and the Fed need to be very careful about.
As an investor, of course, when you have these troubling things like happened in the bloodbath in Paris, there really isn't a lot you can do with your portfolio, is there, to sort of protect yourself against these
things? Unless you've got a better crystal ball than anybody else.
Yeah.
No, there's not. I mean, if you're properly allocated, and maybe even a little bit on the conservative side of where you would normally be, you simply hold your breath and ride through it. Now, if we get some sort of world conflagration, that's a different story. Nobody survives those things. I mean, you're going to take, you know, you're going to take a hit in your portfolio, and all you can do is ride through. But in this particular case, if the world does get together and find a way, number one, to get a ceasefire going in Syria,
right,
and to shut off the oil supplies to ISIS and but also to kind of normalize and slow down supplies a little bit, I think what we'll see is some recovery in oil prices. If we see some recovery in oil prices, that will bleed through to other commodities. If we can start getting to what the objective for the European central bank is and our central bank, about 2% inflation, that is going to really go a long way toward changing that idea of stagnation as a psychological force in people's willingness to spend.
All right, Shelley Fishman, a wealth of financial information and knowledge, and he would be happy to share it with you on a very personal level about your particular money situation. The best way to find you, sir?
Buckmastershow.com. Hit the hyperlink. It sends me an email, and I answer my emails right away.
And he would love to talk with you. Shelley, have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot. 12:30 on Buckmaster.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or the station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Emil Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review, plus Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
What if you could see tomorrow? Now at Biosphere 2, every Saturday, visitors will see and participate in our new interactive series given by elite presenters on what-if questions about life on our planet and the amazing universe. The 2015 International Year of Soils spotlights our November topics included as part of regular tour admission. Join as a Biosphere 2 member and have access to all weekly events in the series running through spring 2016. These special Saturday events from noon to 2 are a unique way for all visitors to interact and engage directly with scientists at the world's largest living environmental research center. Presenters change on a weekly basis, so check our website at biosphere2.org. Asking and doing the big what-if questions is what Biosphere 2 is all about. One of the must-see wonders of the world with tours daily, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, just north of Tucson.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's time for our monthly spotlight on one of our many fine Tucson area nonprofits. This segment is presented by Cox Business. Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com. Our nonprofit spotlight this month is on the Tucson Urban League. The Tucson Urban League has a very, very rich history here in Southern Arizona, going all the way back to 1971. And one of the early affiliates, really, of an organization that has been around about 100 years. Debbie Embry is with me. Debra is the president and CEO of the Tucson Urban League. She comes to Tucson, started her job in 2014 here in Tucson. She comes from the mayor's office in Racine, Wisconsin, where she was involved with several initiatives trying to get more business into the Racine area and helping people in that area. And she's trying to do that here in Tucson. Debbie, good to see you. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. Good afternoon.
Tell me a little bit about some of the focus that you have tried to bring to the Tucson Urban League. As you know, and as you have discovered here in our community, this is a very poor community, yes, and it needs lots of help.
Yes. And, Bill, just a little bit about the Urban League. We are celebrating 45 years of providing programs and services to the city of Tucson residents and also Pima County. Our mission is really, and I'm just in a nutshell, to increase the economic and social outcomes for African Americans, for Hispanics, and low-income populations. And we do that by education, our employment and training programs, our other economic empowerment programs. We really want to improve the economic and social outcomes for minority and low-income populations, and then also to address some of the racial and social justice issues in our communities. So some of the ways that we empower through our education programs, we have our Project Yes after school program, and that's located in our South Tucson facility, our Angel Family Center. We know that many of the residents in South Tucson are economically challenged. We have an after school program. It's licensed. We also accept parent subsidies and DES subsidies. We serve between 45 and 60 children in that program.
How do parents get their kids involved in that program?
We partner with the school that's right next door.
Okay.
Or they can call the Project Yes program facilitator, Sister Mary Ann.
That's a great program, yeah, because that gives kids, you know, really something to focus mm-hmm. on, Debbie, after their school program
Correct.
Is over with.
And we partner with the school. It's a simple program. It provides academic supports. It's a homework and tutoring program. And then we've also enhanced it. Joey from Dancing in the Streets, he's providing free.
Know him well. He's yeah. been a guest on this he's show awesome. A couple of times. Great guy.
He's providing free dance lessons for mm-hmm. the children. Also, Southwest Gas, who's a sponsor of ours, they provide us with free Mad Scientist programming. Mm-hmm. And there's a recreation aspect to it as well.
And we need to talk also about what you're doing to help seniors out. Mm-hmm. You've got the breakfast and lunch program. This is so vitally important. Mm-hmm. Yes, we've got a lot of poverty in this community for people that are middle-aged people who are trying to hold down two, three jobs. But our seniors are really financially challenged in many respects.
And at the Quincy Douglas Community Center, we do have a congregate meal site. It is our senior meals program. Bill, we serve 20,000 breakfast and lunch meals a year in that program.
I had no idea.
We get funding from the city. We get funding from the county and then also Pima Council on Aging. It's not just food that they're provided with. We partner with the community center, and they also have exercise classes. They do chair yoga, which I think is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. They go to the library. They go to we also provide transportation if they have doctor's appointments. They go shopping together. And, Bill, my favorite activity that they do, they have a senior prom.
Oh.
And we even have
a king and queen.
Yes, there's a king and queen.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
We even have someone at the door, a volunteer, who cards them as they come
in.
Oh,
that's cute.
So
Debbie Embry is with us. Deborah is the president and CEO of the Tucson Urban League. We're talking about the many fine things the Tucson Urban League is doing to try to help raise this community up to a new level. Affordable housing, another very critical area that you guys are involved with.
And we do home ownership and foreclosure counseling. We see about close to 200 people in a year. We receive pass-through dollars from HUD, and the dollars go to our National Urban League, and then we receive them. And we're one of several affiliates that receive that funding.
What about someone who cannot afford, for whatever the circumstances, the utilities? Mm-hmm. They maybe are having a really hard time, and quite honestly, they may be evicted and not have any utilities unless they get some kind of emergency assistance.
So, Bill, that leads right into our largest program area, which is our utility and rental assistance program. We receive funding from the state and from Southwest Gas and TEP. And Arizona Community Action for that program. We serve 4,400 people a year in that program. So that lets you know what the need is. We have case managers on our site and then also one that's located at the Keno One Stop Center so that we could serve people in both locations.
How about getting somebody a job?
Yeah. Again.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. How about getting somebody a job, whether it be a full-time, hopefully, or even a part-time job? If somebody's not working and they've got an opportunity to go to work, there are some opportunities. Yeah.
So, Bill, again, we are lucky here because we are a contracted agency with the Pima County One Stop. Our goal is to serve as many people as possible. We serve the hardest to place people. A lot of people coming out of the criminal justice system, once we do the intake on them, they go through job readiness, they go through career counseling. They're provided with stipends to get go into an apprenticeship program, or if they need a GED, they'll go and partner, because we partner with Pima Community College. So our goal is to place about 85% of the people that we serve, but also into livable wage incomes. So many of the people that we place into positions are making $12, $13 an hour.
Let me ask you about Racine. I know a little bit about that area growing up in the northern suburbs of Chicago. People may say, well, there's not much comparison between Racine and Tucson, but I think there are when it comes to employment issues. Mm-hmm. As I recall, Debbie, Racine's got some really serious unemployment challenges.
Mm-hmm. Racine, I think, traditionally had been had the highest unemployment rates in the city of, or excuse me, in the state of Wisconsin, higher than Milwaukee, believe it or not, that has huge pockets of poverty there. So similar to Rust Belt communities, many of those manufacturing jobs have left, which meant that people weren't prepared, similar to here, for getting jobs. So again, making sure that people are prepared, have get a GED or a high school equivalency, and also looking for other avenues to move into the middle class, either through apprenticeship programs and small business developments, so starting your own business and getting people really, you know, back into the middle class. But it does take education.
It does. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad you pointed that out, because without the education, you've got to get the GED at least to get going. I mean, if you're not going to have a high school degree, you're you're challenged big time.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the post-secondary. You know, people think that, you know, going to a four-year college is, you know, the way out. That's not necessarily true now. Our community colleges have a big impact on people's lives.
Well, Debbie, we're going to have to wrap it up with you. You have a personal story that we will address at another time. Your parents are very much involved in the civil rights movement, and we'll bring you back to talk about that. I'd love to hear about your personal history, because it is fascinating. Debbie Embry, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
And Debbie, where can we get more information about the Tucson Urban League?
You can visit our website, www.tucsonurbanleague.org. Or you can just call 791-9522, and my extension is 2235 to reach my administrative person.
All right, our nonprofit segment brought to you by Cox Business. Get to know the business side of Cox. Thank you, Cox Business, for doing these segments so we can learn more about our nonprofits and our community. Their website is coxbusinessaz.com. Be right back.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Where's the time gone? It's already almost 10 minutes toward 1 o'clock on this Tuesday afternoon. Got a great weekend getaway for you. Just 3 hours east of Tucson. They already had their first snow. Some of the Facebook pictures posted really pretty over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. And why not? The elevation, a little bit over a mile high, and snow melts rather quickly, as it always does here in the Southwest. But it's a great way to just enjoy yourself in the great outdoors. Wonderful places to stay, like Pinos Altos Cabins in the neat little town of Pinos Altos, which is at 7,000 feet, just about 10 minutes north of downtown Silver City. Check out Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, has the full listing of places to stay and the many recreational opportunities at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line and up to Phoenix. And Joe Thomas is with us. Joe is the vice president for the Arizona Education Association. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Glad to be on the show. Thanks for talking about education all day.
Oh, yes, we are definitely talking about education. First of all, the AEA's position on the settlement of the Prop 301 lawsuit. Was this a good deal? And is it contingent, Joe Thomas, on voters saying yes in a special election next May?
Well, a few years ago, the legislature stopped funding the inflationary factor of education. They made other cuts that, if we have time, we can talk about as well. And so our lawsuit was on that small piece, the inflationary, the up to 2% every year of increasing the base pay for what we invest in our students. We won the lawsuit, and we have been attempting to settle for 2 years with the legislature because what we want is money in schools. Our schools and our teachers and our students need that funding for their classrooms right now. The settlement is the best settlement we're going to get, given this governor, given the legislature, and given the state of funding in Arizona. So we're hoping the voters will see it as the best solution that we could get and move forward with it by voting for, I think it's Proposition 123 this coming May.
This settlement, Joe, will bring $3.5 billion to schools over the next 10 years. When would the money start flowing into the schools?
Well, if we get it passed in May, we should see that in by the end of June, and so it would impact the teachers and school staff that are in schools this year, and then additional money would be, of course, rolling in the next year. So we could see it impact. It'll be at the very end of the year, but we could see it impact teachers and school employees this year if it passes. If it doesn't pass, then we would go back to the drawing board. We would either have to find another settlement or another solution, something in the legislature. And I just think that's there's a lot of risk associated with that, and it would put us at least another year back in getting money into our classrooms.
We are 2 months away, believe it or not, Joe, and I know you know this very well, 2 months away from the opening gavel at the 2016 yes. Arizona legislative session. Education was such a big topic before this legislative session got underway. In fact, in my many years here in Tucson, I can't remember a time where education was talked about, Joe, so much during a kind of off-session time. Normally, we talk about it during the legislative session. This time, we talked about it a lot before. Will we be talking about it a lot in January?
I'm certainly will. And what I hope the discussion is to move Arizona out of the vicious cycle that we've been in over the last 20 years when it comes to slashing revenue, which then leads to more budget cuts. And then if there's any additional money because we tightened our belts too much in the legislative session, they move back to tax cuts again. It's a truly vicious cycle, and it impacts K-12 education. It impacts our career and technical education, which is vital for so many students across our state and for the trades. Our colleges and universities, and even other resources that our students need to get through their day and their week and their year, and that's it could also include Child Protective Services. What we need to do is, with the additional money we have in the Rainy Day Fund and the unspent money, the additional revenue, because we tightened our belts too much last year because everybody said it was going to be a bad year, we ended up with hundreds of millions of dollars in unspent revenue, which means the cuts from last year were unnecessary. We need to reinvest that money back into K-12. We need to move to a virtuous cycle and start investing in our public again. Public education, university systems, public safety, Child Protective Services. We have the money to move forward with that. And what my fear is, and what a lot of concern is we will stay in the vicious cycle, or at least attempt to, and start doing tax cuts again. And if they do that during this legislative session, with a vote coming up in May, it's going to look like they're undermining the public trust. It's going to look like the settlement was more of a shift of paying for education over to the trust funds, which they have all said it is not. And I think that we're going to be facing an uphill battle passing a measure with the voters. So I'm really hoping, I'm really optimistic this year that we can see a larger investment in education than we've seen in the past few years, and maybe even get us back up to those 2008 levels that we've still not recovered from.
Joe Thomas is with us. Joe is the vice president of the Arizona Education Association, an organization which represents thousands of Arizona teachers. Joe, the Joint Technical Education District here in Tucson took a huge hit during this last legislative session. It was JTED was one of those areas that kind of fell through the cracks, I think, in the hurry to get the session adjourned. Folks didn't really even realize that basically JTED was being defunded, not completely, but devastated, let's put it that way. Do you think Absolutely. It will be restored?
Well, I hope it is. Since 2011, in just those 4 short years, we've cut funding in half. And Joint TED Technical Education Districts, these are cutting-edge skills that students are learning. In my day, we called it woodshop, and maybe computer-aided drafting was at the top of the line. On cutting-edge technology. I have toured the East Valley Institute of Technology, which is our JTED up here in the Mesa area where I teach. Students are learning tooling. They're repairing cars. They're becoming master chefs. Some of the skills that they learn and the apprenticeships these students get into out of college pay $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year. That's right into the economy, jobs that can be filled immediately. And these courses are courses that kids absolutely want to take. When a kid connects to a career technical education classroom, they'll do better in my social studies classroom. They'll do better in their English classroom because now they see they are learning things that they're absolutely going to be using when they get out into the economy, into society, and they just flourish. We must reinvest in our CTE programs because it impacts so many thousands of students across the state.
You are a working teacher in Mesa, correct?
Yes.
What is the morale like now at your particular school?
Well, teachers are feeling the effects of the budget cuts. We've seen class sizes go up. We love our students, but we want to work in a classroom that is manageable and that we can set it up for success for the students. When you don't have enough time in the period to work with every student that really needs it, you don't get that one-on-one time, students suffer. I would say morale could improve a lot, but it's a reflection of the budget and their impact on schools. Teachers have been frozen in their pay for years, not even keeping up with inflation. We see a lot of teachers that are leaving, and they're leaving in debt because it was so expensive with all of the money that we've not invested, that we've actually cut from higher education. These teachers are coming out with $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in debt. And they're realizing that they can't pay it off and eat and afford an apartment, much less start a family on a teacher's salary. Bill, when I went to college, and it wasn't that long ago, it was the late 80s, I paid $800 in tuition and fees. I'm going to send my daughter, hopefully, to the U of A or to ASU in 2 years, and she's going to pay $10,000. Mm. That's unsustainable. If teachers cannot even afford to send their own children to college, just like the teachers went, we have something very, very wrong in what we're investing in and around our budgetary priorities in this state.
All right, Joe Thomas, we will be letting you go here, and we appreciate you talking with us. That election, do we have an election date, Joe, set for May yet?
May 17th, I believe.
It's May 17th, and that will be a particular, they'll be on the ballot, I guess, as a proposition, correct?
Yes, it'll be, as I understand it, a single issue proposition. The only issues that we'll see are the ones related to the settlement.
All right. Joe, thank you very much from the Arizona Education Association. Appreciate your time, sir. Thank you.
I appreciate being on. Thank you, Bill.
All right. Coming up tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, Dr. Victoria Mazes will be talking about holiday stress. It's a very stressful time of year, isn't it? Like the clock is running now, isn't it, toward Thanksgiving. A week from Thursday is Thanksgiving. Then we've got Christmas right on the heels, of course, and so all of the holiday stress upon us. Also, Darcy Olson from the Darcy heads up the Phoenix-based Goldwater Institute. We'll dive deep into what they are doing. That's tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. But this afternoon from 4 to 5, our local talk continues. Mike Shaw will be in this very chair, and Ray Allen will be in that very chair across from me right now for a Mike show. And then we've got 4 hours of local talk spread among three local talk show hosts. That's coming up. Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 with Chris and Joe. Then The Daily Double with Chris DeSimone from 8 to 9 and a different guest host. Then Sean McCluskey 9 to 10 with his Talk of the Town show. And then I'll be back as the cleanup hitter at 12:04 on Buckmaster. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.